I recently shared an Instagram image that read, "Remember that once you dreamed of being where you are now." As business owners, we tend to keep our heads down, pushing forward and working towards the next task or big goal. But I want to encourage you to take some time to reflect on where you started and where your business is today. That's what we're doing on today's episode with Nikki Taylor of Little Lovely Studios, celebrating her successes and reflecting on how her business has grown. Nikki describes herself as a stay-at-home chaos coordinator of four rambunctious kids. When she's not heading to various activities for them, she's working on new designs, packing orders, and making Instagram reels because it's important to have fun. At Little Lovely Studios, she specializes in hand-lettered and illustrated greeting cards, stickers, notepads, and enamel pins. Her designs incorporate a mix of pop culture, political culture, parenting, and things that make her happy. On today's episode, we're talking about how Nikki's business evolved from a small Etsy shop into a successful wholesale business that sells through multiple sales platforms and offers multiple product categories. Nikki talks about how slow, steady growth has gotten her to where she is today. She's being celebrated as one of the top 40 under 40 in her industry and preparing for her 10-year business birthday. Today's episode is brought to you by our email marketing for product makers guide, which will help you map out a year's worth of marketing emails in under an hour. If you have ever struggled with what to say or how many emails to send to your wholesale or direct-to-consumer customers, then this tool is for you. Head to prooftoproduct.com/email marketing to download your free guide. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Nikki, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. So let's rewind to 2013. You started your business, Little Lovely Studios, because you couldn't find a Mother's Day card that resonated with you. What is the story there?
So I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of the Mother's Day cards in big box stores are really sappy and, "Mom, you're my best friend and you do so many things for me." And while my mom is those things and she does do everything for me, that's just not the personality I have. Unfortunately, I'm not like super lovey-dovey. So none of them ever felt like they were coming from me. And I always found that I was marking things out and like writing new things in instead so that it better fit like my personality. So one year I just decided to make some that fit like who I was as a person and said what my mom meant to me.
That's amazing. How did this then turn into a business? I mean, it's one thing for us to make a personal card for someone we love, but how did your mindset shift around, okay, I'm going to make this a business?
Well, I went to school for graphic design. So when I was taking a letterpress class in college, I opened an Etsy shop to sell my extra prints because I didn't know what else to do with them. And so I had already had an Etsy shop for a couple years, but I wasn't really giving it any love. And not long after I designed my first card, I decided to stay at home full time with my then 1-year-old. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm bored. I need a creative outlet. Let me give Etsy like another look. And at the time, that's when more and more people were just finding out about Etsy and it wasn't so oversaturated as it is today. So I just dove right into Etsy and made more cards and listed them and just started shipping them out as the orders started rolling in.
That's awesome. You attended Paper Camp in 2016, which was 3 years into your business journey. Let's talk about what your business looked like in 2016. So in 2013, you started it on Etsy, kind of dabbling in things, making things as you wanted and were inspired. What did it look like in 2016 before you came to Paper Camp?
Before I came to Paper Camp, I feel like it was a little all over the place. I mean, I had definite categories. I had like Valentine's Day cards and birthday cards and baby cards, but I didn't know anything about industry standards. So like at the time, my cards were 5x7, which is not the right, well, I'm not going to say it's not the right size, but it's not like the standard size.
Right, for a lot of
And
reasons.
yes, and Etsy, I want to say they had rolled out Etsy wholesale around that time also, and I was accepted into Etsy wholesale, and I had received several wholesale orders, which got my mind thinking about, wholesale instead of just direct consumer. And I started searching on the internet for information about trade shows, and that's how I stumbled upon Paper Camp.
Yeah. So what was working well in your business? Because you mentioned like some things that weren't quite working that you were hoping to learn at Paper Camp, but you did have things that were, your sales were strong at that point though, right? Weren't you gaining traction with your audience? So is that why you were considering wholesale as an additional revenue stream? Because you felt like direct to consumer was kind of flowing along nicely?
Yes, that is exactly why I wanted to get into wholesale because I felt like direct to consumer was going as well as it could. And it was all, I want to say organic traffic on Etsy. I'm not even sure if that's really a thing, but I wasn't paying for ads.
Right.
So people were just finding me left and right, and I always had orders and everything was going well. So I was just really looking to take that next step to reach more customers.
Okay, so it's been about 6 years,
17.
right? 7 years since
Yeah.
Paper Camp.
6 years, 6 years.
16 to 22. Really, I'm good at math, you guys, I promise. It's been a nice chunk of time since you came to Paper Camp. Talk about what your business looks like now, because I think it's fun for people to hear. This is what it was at the beginning stages and what I didn't know. Here's where we were in the middle a little bit. And now talk about what your business looks like now. You're selling through which revenue streams? Which is your primary revenue stream? How are you conducting business?
When I went to Paper Camp, I had 5x7 greeting cards and that was it. Okay. And I went to Paper Camp with the intention of showing at NSS in May in 2017.
Right.
When I went to NSS, I had 5x7 cards again and enamel pins. I just released a line of enamel pins. Flash forward to now, NSS 2017 was the only trade show that I've attended in person since then. And I now have standard size greeting cards. So that's 4.25 by 5.5.
A2 for anyone
Enamel
listening.
pins, yes, A2. Enamel pins, stickers, and notepads. I want to say the reason I changed the size for my cards is because it wasn't industry standard. And I had gotten feedback from several wholesale customers that they would love to purchase more of my product, but it just took up so much shelf space
Yep.
that they weren't willing to like give up that shelf space, even though they liked my designs and what I had to say. I'm currently selling on my own platform. I use Shopify on Etsy still, which is kind of on autopilot. I only update it every few months or so, and on Faire for wholesale.
Nice.
My biggest money maker is Faire. Since 2020, I have poured 95% of my time and energy into Faire specifically. So wholesale is 95% of my business currently, and retail has kind of like fallen off. So,
It's
but I'm okay with that.
retail's on cruise control is what I like to say, right?
Yes. Yes,
Yeah.
it is.
I love this too, because what we water, what we invest our time and energy into, that is what will grow. And you're living proof of that. You started focusing on wholesale more. You put your time and energy into growing your fair stuff, and you're seeing and reaping that reward. So that's great. You also, I want to just reiterate for our listeners, you expanded your product categories and the number of SKUs that you're offering. You were trying new marketing strategies too. You didn't necessarily go to more trade shows, but you were leveraging the virtual markets and your own emails and other things too. You've also dived into video quite a bit, reels and TikToks and things like that. So let's talk about that. How has that, helped your business and helped customers get a better sense of who you are as a business owner?
Instagram is probably where I have the most followers. And I think I haven't really seen a whole lot of benefit sales-wise from posting reels, but for me, it's been good because it's sort of like another creative outlet. Like it's part of my business and it's good for my business, but it's actually like fun to do. And it's like a break from trying to think of the next new thing that I'm going to do, and a break from packing orders, and a break from bookkeeping. So it's like a nice mental break for me from the business, but it's also still part of the business. And it lets people get to know me better. Like I found that people on Instagram really like when my husband is in reels. I should probably show him more often, but he's not always cooperative, and he works outside of the home, and so he's not here as often as I am and the kids are. But it's been nice letting people see what it's like inside my family and inside my house, especially because I do work from home. Like I'm doing this from my home office, so.
No, I think you've done a really great job of leveraging this new format to really introduce yourself to your customers and your followers and let them see behind the scenes of what you're doing as a creative entrepreneur that also manages a family. So let's talk about that a little bit. You're a busy mom to four that are 10 years old and under. Is that correct? 10 and under?
Nine and under, yeah.
Nine and under. Okay, my apologies. Nine and under.
It's
Girl, I've been there. I know. But
It's
how
hard.
it's hard. But I would love, and I have to preface this question by saying I understand this is an impossible question to answer because when I'm asked this question, I just like, I do my best. But how do you carve out time to create new art while also prioritizing your family? Because it is very difficult to manage a family the size of yours and also manage a business. And you're pretty much managing the business on your own right now, correct?
Yes, I do have a friend that comes in once or twice a week to help me pack orders as needed. So aside from
Okay.
that, it's just me.
Okay, so it's just you. How are you carving out time for creativity that turns into sellable products?
I get up really early in the morning. When my kids are in school, my day starts at 4:30. That way I can go to the gym. I like to work out first thing in the morning. That's like I say I do it for me, but really I do it for everybody else. I'm a much more pleasant person after I've worked out. So really it's for everybody else's benefit. But I get up at 4:30, I go to the gym, and that means I'm home in time to help my kids get ready for school. And so my older two are in elementary school, so they're gone most of the day. And then my younger two, both are going to half day preschool this year. So when only one of them was in preschool, the other one would be taking a nap. So I would work during nap time. I'd get up early in the morning, and then I'd work during nap time. And my husband is very helpful. More often than not, he's making dinner. And so while he's making dinner, I'm usually working. And then when the kids go to bed, I usually do a little more work. I don't stay up too late because I get up so early. I don't like getting up early, but I'm just more productive in the morning than I am late at night now that I'm older. So I just fit things in here and there. Like whenever I have a spare bit of time, that's when I work on things. And I'm not really sure how things are going to go this fall because my older two are both in two different sports. And my husband and I have decided to play softball also. So we'll see. But my husband helps a lot. He very much shares the parenting responsibilities and the household responsibilities so that I can do things. And like when he's home, he'll take the kids out to lunch so that I have like 2 hours at home by myself if I need to get something done. Or he'll take them out to dinner if I'm like, hey, I really need to get this done tonight, but I didn't have a chance because so and so didn't nap. So my husband, if it weren't for him, I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Well, I like to say to people, I mean, I'm sure you receive your fair amount of like inappropriate comments about having four children and, having a large family.
Yes. Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
the things
I know
people say,
exactly where they come from.
yeah, the exactly. The things people say are ridiculous, but I always I feel the same. My husband's very involved, and we would have never made the decision to have four children if we weren't on the same page and, you know, in this partnership of how we were going to raise them. So, you know, my kids are older now. We had at one point four kids under 6 years old, and I had two businesses at the time. And the year that we had our fourth, it was 2016, I had to make some really big changes. And that's actually when I closed down the manufacturing arm of Kelp Designs, my stationery brand. And that's when I went all in on Proof to Product. What adjustments have you had to make, whether it's logistical or even around your mindset, when it comes to managing your business and managing your family?
I've had to put certain things on hold. Like, I've always wanted to really get into apparel. I really, really want to do t-shirt design. I don't know why, but I think it's because I don't have the time to do it, is why I want to do it. But like that is like a dream that's been placed on hold because it's not something I can do from my house. I simply do not have the storage capacity to hold inventory, and I don't really like the print on demand. I don't like the quality of print on demand, so I don't have room for that. That's something that I've had to give up. And like as far as manufacturing goes, I don't order in as large of a quantity as I would like, so my profit margins suffer a bit. But when it comes to an item, if I can't get the number to where I need it to be for wholesale, because I can't order as much, because I can't store it, I just don't wholesale that particular item. I keep it for retail only. But so I haven't really had to sacrifice a whole lot. It's just managing the space. Like if you were to see my office, every wall has a shelf on it, and every shelf is completely full. And I tell my husband all the time, you know, I want to get an office outside of the house. I want to rent two offices side by side, one for inventory and one to work out of. But that's not really feasible right now with how old my kids are. Like the numbers don't make sense. And the time spent there, I wouldn't be able to spend as much time there. And it would be harder for me to work because it would be out of the house now instead of
Right. You
in my
couldn't
house.
do it as seamlessly as you can now because it's in your house.
Right. As a whole, I guess I've sacrificed business growth as well because I've grown very, very, very slowly. Like I had one kid when I started out, and now I have four. I have three more. So I guess I just didn't grow as quickly as I definitely could have. I had to take things much slower because as my business was growing, my family was growing, and I obviously prioritize them over the business.
Right.
So.
Well, and I didn't mean to come at this question from a place of what have you sacrificed for your family? Because everyone is sacrificing, or not, sacrificing is not even the right word. Like, we're all having to be nimble and agile, and there's certain things that we need to prioritize at different times in our lives, and there's things that may take a back seat for a little while. But it doesn't mean that those things won't come to the forefront as a priority later. Maybe apparel will be something that you truly focus on in a year or two when everybody's in elementary school, or maybe that office space will become a reality at some point down the road. I think it's important that all of us, whether we have kids or not, whether our business is just starting out or it's scaling, like it's important for us to have those bigger vision plans for our company that we can work towards. And even if it's a, okay, I know this thing isn't going to happen right now because just life circumstances don't allow it, or it just feasibly, like logistically doesn't make sense. I know that's what I'm working towards, and I know that's what I want. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. I do not want to come off as these aren't ever going to happen. It's just a not right now
Yeah,
kind of thing.
for
Like,
sure.
not now, later. It's all about timing.
And that's totally normal in business, right? Like when I think back to the early days of Proof to Product, even I knew I wanted to do live events, but I didn't do them right away. We waited like a year and a half to do them. And it was because that's what we needed. That's the time we needed to prepare, or the logistics of it. And the same thing is going on for you and others listening too, of just when the time is right, things will sprout and then they'll really take, you know, take on a life of their own. You know, you're approaching your 10-year business birthday next year. So congratulations first on that.
Thank you.
If you were starting your business over today, is there anything that you would do differently?
I would start with smaller greeting cards.
Yep, that's a good one.
But aside from that, I don't think so. I mean, I started on Etsy and then I kept Etsy and moved to my own website and then moved to Fair. And honestly, I'm pretty satisfied and I'm pretty happy with how things have gone. I still think that starting on Etsy is a great starting point, even though the market is oversaturated, because the market is oversaturated. So if you do well on Etsy in an oversaturated market, then to me, that's saying you've got something that people really like.
Right.
So no, I honestly really don't think I would do anything differently.
I love hearing
sure,
I've
that. Made mistakes.
Of course, we all
I've
do.
Made mistakes, but like, I don't know. I'm really proud of like where I started and how I like how far I've come. And
you should be.
Like I said, my business growth has been like very slow, but it's been at the exact speed that I need it to be. And no, I really don't think. Maybe I wouldn't have gone to NSS in 2017, because although I did paper camp when I got to NSS, I just personally, I don't think I was prepared. I think my business was prepared, but I think me as a person, I was very uncomfortable like the entire time. I wasn't comfortable with talking to people. Like I was nervous. So I think me as a person, I wasn't ready for that. And maybe that's the only thing I wouldn't do.
Okay.
Or I would do differently. I would have done it later.
And that's fair. That's totally valid. I love too how you said my business was ready, but I wasn't ready. And I think that that's a very valid thing, especially for people that, you know, we spend all this time before a show preparing our product line, making sure our catalog's ready, choosing our booth components. Like there's a lot that goes into exhibiting. And then we show up and we're starting the race mentally drained, you know, from all the preparation work we've done. And then to go in and to have our talking points, to have our elevator speech, to ask thoughtful questions of the people that we're meeting at a show, it can be challenging. So I 100% relate to what you said. There's been more than one show where I walked in and I was like, okay, like let's put on our game face and try to make, you know, small talk. It's hard to do that sometimes. Another recent accomplishment, you were recently named to the 40 under 40 list in the stationery and gift brand category. So congrats on that and welcome to the club. I was on the list too.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how does it feel to be recognized by your industry peers for the work you're doing?
It felt great. I was very surprised. It was kind of like, oh, you know, I'll just submit this. Nothing's going to come of it. But yeah, I was very, very surprised. But I hate to say, as surprised as I was, I wish I would have done it. Maybe submit it for it next year instead.
Ooh, tell me why.
Well, because my youngest is 20 months old, I have no plans on attending any trade shows for at least the next 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm just thinking about, you know, the ramifications of being in the 40 under 40, it would have benefited me more if I was able to go to Las Vegas Market and accept the award in person, or if I was able to go to NY Now, which is taking place right now, isn't it? In
yeah, they just
shop object.
Yeah, they just wrapped up.
I just, strategically speaking, I should have thought about that and I didn't. But I'm still very excited to be part of the class.
If you ever go back to a show later, you can always promote it there, you know, have like,
it's true.
It's not, these kind of recognitions are not just for now, they're forever,
right.
You know?
But you know, while like the ball is rolling, I want to be like, hey, it's 2022 and look what I'm part of. But
yeah. No, I get that. And to be able to connect with others in your, yes. I'm putting air quotes, your class of 40 under 40 and all that is really, it's yes. helpful. I think it's
but
wonderful.
I'm still excited nonetheless.
Of course, of course. It's a great honor. It's nice to be recognized by your peers. It's nice to be recognized as a brand that's doing things. And also, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times that you're building slowly. And you know, my mantra is that strong businesses are built through slow, steady, consistent growth. And that's what you've done. So I am not surprised at all that they're recognizing you for that. I think it's a well-deserved recognition.
And it's all just so crazy. Like, I kid you not, every time I design something, I think to myself, nobody's going to like this. This is terrible. And then I like send it out to the people that I always send things to. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I'm like, really? It just doesn't feel like it. So I've always, I guess, is that called imposter syndrome, where I always feel like maybe it's not as deserved as everybody else thinks it is.
Yep.
But yeah, so I definitely struggle with that. Every release, I'm like, nobody's going to buy any of this. And then people buy it. And it's just like a vicious cycle.
I'm so glad you have that group of people, though, to bounce these ideas off of, because we are our own worst critics, particularly when it comes to creative work like that. So for you to have this community of people that are telling you, this is good, we like it, it's going to sell well, that has to be validating before you release new product.
It is. But I sometimes just don't believe them. I don't know what it is. We are our biggest critic.
We are. Like we are. Said, you're not alone in that. You're not alone in that at all. Okay. Well, what's next for Little Lovely Studios? What do you have coming up that you want to share with our listeners?
What's next is I'm actually, for the second time ever, going to get a catalog printed.
Yay, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Up until now, I've been relying on digital catalogs. And for what feels like forever, I've been working on a new catalog and I'm going to get it printed and I'm going to start hunting. I'm using air quotes, yeah. Hunting, as I would call it, for wholesale accounts instead of gathering, which is what I've been doing on Fair. I have not reached out to 99% of the businesses that order from me on Fair. They have all found me. And so now it's time to start hunting. So I'm going to get my catalog printed and I'm going to start sending it out with samples, and I'm hoping to bring in some new accounts for the holidays.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm excited for you. And don't forget, I know you have your paper camp resources, but we also have the wholesale outreach schedule in labs. So you can follow that. Yes. I can't wait to see your catalog. Will you share it with the community when it's ready?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good, good. I'm excited to see it. All right, well, let's tell people where they can find you online if they want to check out your products, if they want to follow you on social, all of the goods.
So on social, I am on Instagram mostly. I have a Facebook and a TikTok, and all three of those are at Little Lovely Studio. And you can check out products at littlelovelystudio.com.
Perfect. We will include all those links in the show notes so people can easily find you. Nikki, this was awesome. I loved catching up with you, hearing how things are going, and just celebrating your wins. I mean, the 40 under 40, 10 years in business, these are big milestones for you. So thank you for coming and sharing your story and allowing me to celebrate with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Absolutely. Big thank you to Nikki for coming on the show today to share her story. Much of what she talked about, slow, strategic, and intentional growth, resonated with me. We all go through different seasons in our lives and our business, but it is so important to reflect on where we started, where we are now, and also that messy middle in between. Every step of our business journey has led us to the place that we are in now, the business that we have now. So let's be sure to celebrate those wins, big or small. Thank you so much for listening today. If you found today's episode helpful, I want to ask you to do two things. First, share it with a friend who would benefit from hearing it. Send them the link or share it with them on Instagram. And two, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and write a review. These reviews and ratings help us get more ears on the show, which enables us to bring you high-quality guests. And it enables us to make a stronger, more positive impact in the lives and businesses of those that listen to the show. Impact is one of our top values here at Proof to Product, and your rating and reviews help us reach more people. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.